Our scripture on this third Sunday of Epiphany is from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 30 through 34. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, these people have sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will only forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out of the book that you have written." But the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. See, my angel shall go in front of you. Nevertheless, when the day comes for punishment, I will punish them for their sin." From the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verses 29 through 34, "This shall be a statute to you forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall deny yourselves, and shall do no work, neither the citizen nor the alien who resides among you. For on this day atonement shall be made for you, to cleanse you. From all your sins you shall be clean before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall deny yourselves. It is a statute forever. The priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, wearing the linen vestments, the holy vestments. He shall make atonement for the sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the people of Israel once in the year for all their sins." And Moses did as the Lord had commanded him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Corey, we are blessed when you read. Thank you. For the love of God. For the love of God. We are continuing this journey through the scriptures, a lightning pace. Remember, we started with creation a few weeks ago. We went to the garden, to the burning bush. Today, atonement. We'll look at forgiveness, baptism, follow me, and nothing separates us before we're finished. On our way to the beginning of the season of Lent, later in March, and we will continue this journey of awakening how the scriptures inform us. Remember, our Bible, it wasn't intended to be a science book. It was intended to be a book that tells us the love story between God and human beings. It wasn't intended to be a manual for behavior. It was intended to be a love story between God and all of us. So here we are, for the love of God, looking at atonement. And I don't know about you, but atonement is not a word that I use in my vocabulary on any given week. I don't find it a regular part of what I say to people. But here we are, awakening what it means for us to understand the biblical principles of atonement. Atonement, it's the restoration of love when it seems to be lost. We remember that in the Exodus passage, it was Moses who went before God and said, "Alas, the people have sinned a great sin. They've made for themselves gods of gold. But now, Lord, if you will only forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out of the book that you've written." Moses went up before God to atone for the sins of these people. And then in Leviticus, we hear the continuation, how later on in the story of Israel, atonement became more fixed. "For on the day of atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins. You shall be clean before the Lord." The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, in the Jewish tradition, atonement. It's the restoration of love when it seems to be lost. Somehow we find ourselves in the circumstances of our lives separated from God. And we don't always understand why that happens, but we do read in this love story of God with us the countless experiences when people of God fall short. They do the wrong things. They choose the wrong paths. They disrespect God. They sin before God. They find themselves God forsaken, estranged from God, and the love story is in jeopardy. Atonement, the attempt in a love story for restoration when estrangement has happened, when separation has occurred, when the circumstances of life or the choices we make put us in a posture of a chasm between us and the ones we love, us and God. Atonement. It's a word used in the Bible 87 times. 70 of those times are in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. In the New Testament, the word atonement's only used 3 times. Once in Romans, I'll cite it in a few moments, and the other 2 in Hebrews. This word atonement, somehow in my life, I have to refresh myself whenever I hear someone say atoning, and I turn to the dictionary. Where else do we go? So here I am looking at a first definition of atonement is satisfaction or reparation for a wrong or injury. Amends. A second definition is the doctrine concerning the reconciliation of God and humankind, especially as accomplished through the life, suffering, and death of Christ. And the third definition, the experience of humankind's unity with God exemplified in Jesus Christ. Atonement. Though the word is only used 3 times in the New Testament, you can hear our contemporary dictionary describes it as a Jesus Christ event. The core of atonement is found in the Old Testament understandings of Jewish faith. I also looked up into a secular reference for vocabulary. And as I shot through that, I found atonement, that when you apologize for doing something wrong, that's an act of atonement. The Jewish faith has rituals of atonement on the holidays of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Jewish faith encourages one another to repent of their sins. On that day, the Day of Atonement. I remember a professor in my seminary days speaking of the Day of Atonement in ancient Israel and how the priest, the highest priest, would go into the Holy of Holies in the sacred place of the temple in that day. The Holy of Holies was so sacred, human beings were not ever to go in. But on the Day of Atonement, a priest would go in. One of the best parts of the story is that the priest that was to enter had a rope tied to their leg. And as they went into the Holy of Holies, if in the presence of God they were so overwhelmed that they died and dropped dead, they could pull the body of the priest out of the Holy of Holies. Ever felt like that when you come to church? Sometimes when you come in here, you think, you know, I could drop dead in there in the presence of God. I pray somebody will pull me out. Fascinating the way we're in awe of God's presence, frightened at times, eager at other times. atonement. Derives from at one, to be at one with another. We hear Walter Brueggemann commentate on this as he says, to be at one with another and to agree to be reconciled is the word used to translate the Hebrew term kippur. Kippur means to cover up. Hebrew scriptures, the word used for the purification or the cover over sin and their consequences, so that Israel, who sins and pollutes, and Yahweh, whom sin and pollution offends, may be reconciled to each other, to be at one. Atonement is the restoration of love when it seems to be lost. Our God, the divine lover, continues to come after us. We continue to seek God's approval. We continue to seek God's love, especially when we found ourselves in postures where we found ourselves unworthy. Thus, in Exodus, Moses went up to the mountain to atone for the people's sins and says, "Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They've made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you'll only forgive them, Lord. But if not, blot me out of the book that you've written." In Leviticus, we hear that the Day of Atonement is something that you'll remember. Pause from time to time to remember your sins, to seek the presence of God, to seek forgiveness, and be cleansed before God. I mentioned that the word atonement appears three times in the New Testament. One is in the book of Romans. I'm going to share the passage. Some of the passage will be familiar to many of you. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and following. In Romans it reads, "But now, irrespective of law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus." Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and following. Remember that and write it down. Put it as one of the scriptures to highlight in your home Bible. Remember that dictionary definition, the second and the third parts of it. The definition of atonement is that doctrine concerning the reconciliation of God and humankind, especially as accomplished through the life, suffering, and death of Christ. And the third, the experience of humankind's unity with God exemplified by Jesus Christ. We hear the truth of what it means for us to turn to our Lord in the moments when we feel estranged, that chasm, that deep, deep chasm. One commentator of the scriptures, his name, I missed his first name. Jones is his last name. He wrote, "Jesus' life, and particularly His death, shows God's ultimate solidarity with the marginalized and the poor. Jones went on to write, with those who most acutely experience God-forsakenness. In his death, we are united with his suffering, and in identifying with his resurrection, we are raised to new life. Do you remember the image of the canyon between us and God? Remember the chasm? One artist illustrates this God-forsakenness place. And the only way out of the God-forsakenness place is a pathway that Christ followed. Isn't that a great image? How to cross from our God-forsaken understanding of ourselves from time to time into the realm of being restored into the presence of God. It's as though we have an opportunity to return to the garden. The opportunity to catch a glimpse once again at the moments we lost our innocence. The moments when we acted poorly, chose wrong, were susceptible to evil, and we lost our way in God-forsakenness. In this love story, there are countless experiences when the people of God fall short, when we do the wrong things, when we choose the wrong path, when we sin before God, when we find ourselves God forsaken, estranged from God. And this love story, it's in jeopardy. Thank God for atonement as God reaches for us. When Christ's hand comes to us, and in our most God-forsaken, overwhelming moments, with an outstretched hand, we are not alone. Atonement, funky little scriptural word used by the people of God at one with our God. Friends, this week, no words in your prayer. Simply raise your hand. Simply raise your hand. And let God, through Christ Jesus our Lord, atone. Be at one with us once again. Please, Lord. Please. Atonement. The restoration of the love when it seems to be lost. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.